friend of mine from a former ministry had a few fears, and one of her fears was water. One time as a youth sponsor, she took a bunch of kids, her and some other adults took a bunch of kids to a water park. And they went in this wave pool, and they talked her into going into the wave pool. And they got her on a raft, and they pulled her out there. She says she couldn't swim. She gets out there, and of course, it got a little bit too rocky, a little bit too choppy, and she goes over the side of the raft, and down she went, 8 or 10 feet of water. And, you know, most of us would be like, you know, panicking, kicking, and screaming. And, you know, if you can't swim, you're just doing anything you can to stay afloat, and you're trying your best, but not her. She said, and this is her story, she said, I just felt like, hey, this is it. This is how I go. And she just let herself calmly and quietly sink to the bottom. Thankfully, she was not alone, and there were a lot of people out there with her, and they cared about her, and so they pulled her up as quick as they could. But she just had resigned herself that that was going to be it, that that was going to be the end of Jennifer. Now, I don't know about you, if you can swim or not, but you've probably been in the deep end. You've probably been in the pit before. I know I have. I've been in the pit, and sometimes you feel like you can't get out. And maybe right now, in the midst of COVID-19, and in the midst of quarantining, in the midst of all the different things that are going on, the uncertainty of our economy, the uncertainty of jobs, and all those sort of things, maybe right now you sort of feel like you're in a pit. You don't know what to do. You feel like maybe there's even no hope. And so this morning, continuing in our series that we've been doing for a couple of weeks now, it's called Shadows. And we're talking about finding Jesus in the Old Testament, how he's sort of maybe hidden in the shadows in some instances. And today we're doing an account that's a little bit different. It's not like a narrative, a story. It's one of the Psalms. And if you look through and you sort of look through with these Christ eyes, you can see Jesus being foreshadowed or projected or prophesied a little bit about his coming and what he was going to be like. And it's written by King David. King David was a neat guy. His life is so interesting. And I mean, he had his ups and downs. He had his victories and he has defeats. He had times when he was the man and he was called the man after God's own heart. And then he was told, you are the man, and it was not the good kind of man. He was caught up in sin and he had been told a story to point out his guilt. David was a character. He was a human, is basically what he was. He's like all of us. We don't always get it right. Sometimes we do. But there's a neat story that we can learn from this. There's a neat lesson, I should say, that we can learn from this. King Saul saw him as a threat, and so he was trying to kill him. His troubles that he brought on his own self because of his sin, and that's a whole other story about his affair with Bathsheba and all the resulting things that took place. And he even killed her husband to cover up. His own son rebelled against him, but he had his great victories as well. Most of us know about David and his battle against Goliath and how he was a young boy and he went and defeated this massive giant hulk of a man, 9 feet tall, and he defeated him by the power of God. And we know about him becoming king because, hey, it's in his title, right? King David. And there was a time he had brought the Ark of the Covenant back to the people of God when it had been held captive for so long, and he got to bring it back in victory. So many amazing victories in his life, but also, like we said, so many defeats. And now comes a time that David is dedicating his palace, his place to live. He's bringing the kingdom back to where it belongs. And he'd been through so much, and God had rescued him and seen him through time and time again. But there's a deeper truth, like I said before. There's a deeper truth that foreshadows Jesus. See if you can find Jesus in these words from Psalm 30, beginning in verse 1. It says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. Man, those are powerful words, even if they were just meant for David in his celebration of all that God has done. But the beauty is that there's a foreshadowing there pointing to Jesus, who's the ultimate fulfillment of all of these truths. But that's what I want us to spend a couple moments on this morning. I want to talk about three truths and three responses. Three truths that we can learn from this passage and three responses that we need to make sure we incorporate into our life. The first one is this: God rescues. Man, I cannot say it enough. God rescues. And if you've lived any time in this life with Jesus, you know that God rescues. And in verse 1, we see David is pointing this out. David was rescued time and time again. And ultimately, we know that Jesus was rescued. He was rescued from the grave. It looked like that all was lost. Satan thought he had won. He thought he had defeated the Holy One of God when Jesus died on the cross and was put in that tomb. But God rescued him. He raised him up. In verse 2, it says, "O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health." You see, the truth is, God rescues, and our response is to call out to God because He hears. And I want to challenge you right now, if you feel like you're in that pit and you feel like you don't know if anything's going to get better, you don't know when it's going to get better and what it's going to look like. You hear the phrase thrown around a lot, our new normal. What's it going to be like after this? You see, God can rescue you from the small trials to the major trials to the huge struggles that are in your life. But I do want to say this. It doesn't mean the trial won't hurt. It doesn't mean the difficult time won't be just that, difficult. If you're thinking about right here and right now what's going on with the virus, I want you to think about that for a second. It won't last forever. God will rescue. He will heal. It will be in His own time. He rescues us. So call out to God. Praise Him and lift His name up in prayer. That's your challenge to do. Become, if you're not already, a person of prayer. Be that person who calls out to God in prayer because He hears. He wants to heal. He wants to rescue. God saves. But know this, it doesn't mean that the wounds won't hurt. When Jesus was on the cross, it hurt immensely more than we could ever imagine. And He was yet still rescued from death, but He did taste death. And so I have to remind you, and I have to remind myself, that even though the trial may be difficult and the trial may be painful, that God will rescue and He will come to our call. In Genesis 3, all this was alluded to even before the psalm was written, when it's given the prophecy to the deceiver, the punishment, so to speak, for what's going to happen to Satan for misleading his children, Adam and Eve. He says that the fruit of the womb of Eve was going to crush Satan's head while Satan was going to strike his heel. Now, I'll say this, a heel strike does not feel good, but it's nowhere near as bad as a head crushing. And Jesus was hurt on the cross, and Jesus was hurt in death, but to Him it was like sleep, and He busted out of that grave. And just like God spared His one and only Son and raised Him up from the dead, He will heal you and He will rescue you when you call out to Him. So right now during this time, make sure that you're calling out to God, not just for yourself, but all the people around you and all the relationships that God wants to use you in this time. Building off of that same idea, the next truth that we have to understand is that God wins. God, I want you to know, church, that God wins each and every time. He wins victoriously, overwhelmingly. He overcomes, He conquers, and He invites us to be a part of that. Ultimately, it's through defeating death on the cross, but it's in every small way of life. The horror stories and the broken parts of your life, your broken relationships, God can take those and He can redeem those and He can win through those and in those with you. Verses 2 and 3, it says again, "Oh my Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death." Man, that's a powerful story about how God restored the health of David many times, and He spared his life. And He did the same thing for Jesus. He brought him out of that grave, the fullest understanding of these passages. He rescued David so many times and kind of took him from the grips of death almost. But Jesus, He absolutely raised him from the dead. He literally defeated death and the grave through Jesus, His Son. There's a story that's told in a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. It's part of the story, a series of songs that were put together based on the retelling of Scripture in a story narrative many years ago. And there's a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman called "This Is How Love Wins." And I encourage you to go and listen to that song. We're going to put a link in our notes, and we want you to listen to it because, man, it's so impactful how it reminds us of it seems like all was lost, but then Jesus won it all when he rose out of that grave. He defeated death once and for all. And so no matter what life may throw at you, even if you're worried and in fear of death far beyond even what this virus might threaten or how it might affect the economy, whatever your fear is, whatever your worry is, whatever your battle that you're in right now is, God wins. And if you're on His side, you win. So remind yourself. Here's your response. Celebrate God's goodness because people hear. The first response that I told you guys about when we talk about the fact that God rescues is call out to God because He hears. He hears your prayer, so call out to Him. But God wins every time. And so our response to that is to celebrate God's goodness because people hear. People need to hear that God wins. They need to see it in our lives. And we need to celebrate His victories, big and small, day in and day out in our lives so that people will know that there's a victory waiting for them as well if they just surrender their lives to Jesus. Verse 4 of that text there in Psalm 30 says, "Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise His holy name." That's what we're called to do, to sing out to Him, to praise His name, because He is good and He wins absolutely and overwhelmingly. The third and final truth that we learn from this passage is that trials are temporary, but heaven is eternal. Church, I want you to remember that trials are temporary, but heaven is eternal. And so no matter what this world may throw at you, no matter what it's throwing at us right now, these things are temporary. And when Jesus is the center of our lives, He is good and He is God and He is King and He rules over all. And one day we will be with Him and everything will be made right. In verse 5, it says very clearly, "For His anger lasts only for a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning." Trials are temporary and they last a moment. And that word there in the Hebrew is literally can be understood a wink or a blink of an eye. That's what the temporary nature of our trials are going to be compared to heaven. So what's our response? Sing to God because you hear. I know that may sound weird, but here's what I mean by that. Because trials are temporary and heaven is eternal, you and I need to praise God with everything that we are, with everything that we have, because we hear. We need to be reminded of the things that we sing about and the songs that we praise God in. We need to do that privately on our own while maybe you're in your car. Maybe you feel like the only time you can sing is in your car, in your shower. Go ahead and do it. But praise Him and listen to the words that you sing. And when you come together with the church or you're praising God this morning in your house as we're here in quarantine, when you praise God, think about the words that you're singing. Praise Him because you and I need to be reminded of how good He is, that He always wins and that He always rescues, and that these trials are temporary, but heaven is eternal. Remind yourself and your brothers and sisters how God wins every time. The word there in the verse, in verse 5, says His favor lasts a lifetime. That word in the Hebrew can literally be understood to mean delight or pleasure or acceptance. You see, God has great pleasure in you and I. Not because we're worth it, but because He made us worth it. And that He loved us so much that He allowed Jesus to go to that cross for us and die for us. And so He finds pleasure in you and I. And we are a part of His family and He wants to lavish that pleasure on us. And so He also says there in verse 5, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning." Joy comes with the morning. And the word joy there has a meaning of giving a shout of joy, a ringing cry. It's not just, "Oh, joy." It's not anything like that. And sometimes that's the only joy that we can muster, but it's a loud shout of praise and a ringing cry that you and I need to call out. And when we sing praises to God and we're reminded of all the good things that He's done for us, hopefully it spurs our hearts on to keep the faith and run the race and fight the fight and climb out of the pit that we're in. Here's what I want you to think about. If death is temporary to God, how brief do you think a virus is? If death is temporary to God, how brief do you think a virus is? You see, no matter what you're going through, God has got this. He defeated the ultimate enemy of sin and death and the grave, and He busted that grave wide open, and He is alive, and He gives you and I life. One day I'm going to make a t-shirt, and if you steal this idea, I want part of the proceeds from it. You know, I need a little credit. But I want to make a t-shirt that says, Jesus, ruining funerals for 2,000 years. Because when we know Jesus, a funeral is not the end. It's not the end at all. Jesus defeated death and the grave once and for all. And we've got to remind ourselves that these trials are temporary and that tomorrow is another day. I don't know if you remember that old movie, if you've ever seen Gone with the Wind, but there's a line towards the end that says, after all, tomorrow is another day. And that's so true. When you're in a relationship with God, it's absolutely true. Tomorrow is another day. And in Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. You see, God's mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's where the lines from that famous hymn come from. Great is thy faithfulness. God, you are so faithful and so good all the time to all of us. And your mercies are new every single morning. And so you remind yourself, as surely as the sun rises, God's mercies and grace is new every morning. These trials that we're going through right now, the things you're going through that nobody else even knows about, are temporary, but heaven is eternal. Lisa Turkhurst is a well-known author, and she tells a story about how she is in great pain for quite some time in her abdomen, and she couldn't figure out what it was, and a lot of doctors just dismissed her. They did tests and they couldn't find anything that was going on. They didn't find cancer, anything like that. And she was praying without ceasing for God to take away this intense pain in her stomach. And she just wondered why it wasn't going away. And she finally goes to a surgeon. She has a consultation with a surgeon who was also a believer. And he listened to her. He didn't just dismiss her. And he finally came to the diagnosis. He said, what's going on is your colon has become twisted and it's cut off blood supply. And so I know you were praying for God to take away your pain, but here's what I want you to know. Here's what he said. He said, I'm so thankful God didn't answer your prayer to take away your pain, because we would have released you and stopped looking. You would have died. So what do we learn from that? Her pain actually saved her life. If God had just listened to her and taken away her pain, she never would have pursued it, and she would have died in just a few days because the blood would not have been flowing through her body. And so you and I need to learn that many times in our lives, there's a purpose through our pain. God doesn't cause our pain, but sometimes He allows things because it wakes us up. And the trials that we go through develop perseverance and give us faith and strength to stay the course. And so you may not see it now, but know this. God is working, even in your pain, even in your trials. He has a plan. Remember this statement. Your pain is not in vain. Your pain is not in vain. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is using it, and He can use it to bring glory and honor to Him. How you deal with it, the story that you tell for other people, so many different things. God can use your pain, and He can bring about good, even in your trials. Philippians chapter 1 says that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And you and I have to remember that powerful truth that if you're living in this world, that you have the opportunity to live for Jesus. But if you die, you get to go to be with God forever, for all eternity. So here's a few questions you ask yourself when you're going through a difficult trial. What is God teaching me? What's God teaching me through my trial? The next question you ask is, how is God using me in my trial? And then ask yourself, who is God reaching through me during my trial? Because people are always watching, and there's always an opportunity for God's glory to shine through in your struggles. So when we're allowed to go through struggles and trials and pain that this world will heap on us, and make no mistake, it will heap it on us, what we have to remember is that God allowed His Son to go through the most excruciating death that I believe anyone's ever gone through, Because not just the physical pain, but the spiritual and emotional pain of wearing all that sin that he didn't commit, he wore it on his spirit, on his soul. And so he went through the greatest trial ever to save you and me. So remember, as you take communion in these next few moments, that Jesus' body was broken and his blood was shed. He went through the ultimate trial to give you and me life. It was not in vain. It was for a purpose. And that purpose was to save you and I. So as you take communion this morning, remember that his body was broken for you, and that his blood was shed for you, and that his pain was for a purpose. And it was not in vain. And therefore, because of that, that life that he lives now, and you and I have a chance to live with him, your pain is not in vain either. Celebrate communion with your family or with us as a whole as we celebrate here for these next few moments. And then the band's going to sing a song. You join in and worship. And remember to praise God even in your trials, because he is good. He always rescues. He always wins. And these trials are temporary, but heaven is eternal.